right? Last week, there's just a little two-part series that I'm talking about. And we're talking about roles in the church. And some people may know roles in the church, some may not. And, you know, have you ever thought about it? How would you like, we have some teachers in the first service. We have some teachers here in the second service. How would you like to walk up to your school and not have an assignment, a role where you're going to teach? All you do is just walk on the campus. And all you know is you're supposed to teach students, but that's it. Oh, you'd like that, huh? You'd go to the teacher's lounge and just drink coffee, huh? But, you know, no roles. You just walk, and nobody has a role. There's no principal, you know. It's just, you're just showing up to educate these kids, and nobody has a role. How would that look? Wait, you'd like that? Chaos. It would be chaos, wouldn't it? And I didn't mention this one in the first service, but I'll mention it now. How would it be if people just showed up at the police department and they never were trained and they just gave them a police car and just let them go? Now, prevent crime in our community. They, I mean, really don't have a role. They're not trained to do it and they're not prepared to do it. You just send them out to do it. And they really don't know what their role is in that. How? Again, chaos, you know, and you can see the point is that, you know, and God created, he's a God of order. He created institutions, being the family, and, you know, there's roles in the family. And he talks about it even in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, where we're going in just a moment. There were roles in the family that God gave men and women. And so you see that, you know, and the church is an institution of God, and the government is an institution of God, and you know, the government is supposed to have roles, in, you know, but it don't seem like it right now. Bad pastor. But we all have different roles we fulfill. And so it is in the institution of the church. And last week we talked about my role, and this week we're going to be talking about your role and what's your job. And we're going to pick up in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. And he, meaning Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Let me just stop right there because I had this thought in the first service. And let me just go ahead and say it again. Notice it says, for the equipping of the saints, not the whipping of the saints. Too many have used this for the whipping of the saints and not the equipping of the saints. Big difference. He says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Again, for the edifying, that's the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity. Now look, God loves unity, all right? To the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can I say that another word? He wants us to look like Christ. He wants the body to look like the head, Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, grow up. Some of you have been wanting to say that to the person you said it to for a long time. I just gave you permission. May grow up in all things into him who is the head. There he is again, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Remember that phrase, every joint supplies. According to the effective working by which every part, everybody say every part, does its share, causes growth of the body. For the edifying of itself in love. Now, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Holy Spirit brought gifts. And you can read about those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can read about those in other parts of the New Testament. You can read about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gave when he came. But when Jesus left the earth, he gave gifts when he left. And the gifts that he gave are what we read in Ephesians chapter 4, the fivefold ministry. And what was it? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And that fivefold ministry that Jesus gave, the gift that Jesus gave to his body, by the way, the gift that he gave, what's their purpose? To equip the body for what? The work of the ministry. For what God has called the body to do, to the equipping, and not the whipping. Let me say that again, but for the equipping you for the work that God has called you to do. I'm here to equip the body of Christ. It's my purpose. And I believe this. I have this personal conviction. Every member, when I talk about member, not just your name on a roll, okay? Member of the body of Christ. Every member is a minister. Thank you. We're all called to minister, to be ministers to one another. All of us. And some of you are thinking right now, well, Ken, I've never been to Bible school. I've never been to seminary. That's not what qualifies you to be a minister. What qualifies you to be a minister is that Jesus is your Lord. That's just it. I mean, and the you know, because the Holy Spirit in you has that gift, and it qualifies you to be a minister, my friend. Every member is a minister, and I'm a minister as well. But my job as a fivefold ministry is to equip you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to do. That's what he's called me to do. So what's your job, okay, in this? Number one is to be available. It's to be available. Well, that's your responsibility, to be available. God's not looking, and you got to catch this, God's not looking for ability. God's looking for availability. Because what does God do with availability? He makes you able. He makes those that make themselves available, he makes them able to do what he's called them to do. You're empowered. You may say, Ken, I just don't, man, that's out of my wheelhouse. So listen, whatever God calls you to do is not out of your wheelhouse. You may feel strange. You may not feel qualified, but don't worry about that. Just make yourself available to God, and he will qualify you and give you the ability to do what he's called you to do. Wow. He does that. I mean, I just think about our 10 days of prayer that we just had just here a few weeks ago. The best 10 days we've ever had. I mean, it was powerful, my friends. And I think about Jim and Linda Bober back there. I want to say this the right way. Okay, through me doing my job. It's not me, just through me doing my job. Let me say it that way. When I first came to Encounter Church, I'd have never dreamed Jim and Linda Bober would have led a prayer movement like that. I just saw them as two hippies that rode Harley Davidsons, man. That's both of them. I mean, not just him, but she does too. I mean, that's pretty wild. I mean, that's just, you mean, they just free-spirited and, you know, and just, you know, and all that. But man, they just led and are continuing to lead an incredible prayer movement in our church, just simply because they made themselves available and they caught this vision for this 10 days of prayer. And they said, Pastor, we want to, here, go do it. And I just equipped them with all I knew how to do and just everything they, you know, and just, I don't know, they come and ask me something. I said, well, if that's what you want to do, do it. It probably irritated them a little bit, but, you know. But if that's what you want to do, do it. Because they just made themselves available. And God gave them the ability to do it. They just became available. Wow. God makes you able. I'm available. I'm not a great pastor at all. I would have never chosen myself to do this job. Looking at my resume, I'd have never chosen myself. I'm serious about that. I'd never done it. But I just made myself available to God. And God, whatever you want with my life And so he gives me the ability to do what I'm doing now. He gives you the ability to do what he's called you to do. There's nothing special about the water hose. It's just a water hose while it's laying there. But when the water, what is the water hose designed to do? For the water to flow through it. But the water doesn't flow through the water hose until it's connected to the faucet. The faucet, with it turned on, gives the water hose the ability to do what it's called to do. It's for the water to flow through that water hose. There's really nothing special about the water hose, old friend. God just needs a conduit. If you'll be somebody that God can, if God, here, let me say it this way. If God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. If he knows that he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. God's just looking for available people. What did Jesus do? He went to the disciples. Some of them were fishermen. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And what did they do? What did the Bible say about Peter and John and all them went fishing? The Bible says, what did they do? Immediately they dropped their nets. And what was that saying to Jesus when they did that? I'm available. I'm available. He said, you make me a fisher of men. And even when things got a little bit tough, when Jesus started saying crazy words, like, you're going to eat my body and drink my blood. Ooh, what does that mean? And all these disciples turned and walked away from him. And Jesus pretty secure in himself. He just looked at the ones that stayed and said, you gonna leave too? You know what Peter said? Oh, man, we have nowhere else to go. You are the giver of life. I mean, he would say, you're my source, Jesus. That's what he said. I mean, he just continued to make himself available to Jesus, right? And he made a lot of mistakes, too, in it. I mean, it's not the extension cord that makes the difference. It's the electricity that goes to the extension cord. But the electricity doesn't go through the extension cord until it's plugged into the source. It's just an extension cord. We're just conduits. You know, I shared something on Facebook. I think it was Pastor Craig Rochelle from Life Church said, I saw on Facebook and I just shared it. What did it say exactly? Just a short sentence. God didn't create us to be important. Something like that. It's not about being important. It's just about being available to God. And then he gives you the ability. And some of us, we may have been hesitant about making ourselves available to God because we don't feel like we have the ability. Don't worry about that. That's God's part. That's his part. Just be available to him. Say, here I am. Here I am. Use me, God. Use me. God just needs someone to plug into him and become available. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul writes to Timothy, says, the things, the doctrine, the precepts, the admonitions, the sum of my ministry, amplified version, by the way, in case you're wondering, which you have heard me teach in the presence of many witnesses, entrust. I love, this is why I use the amplified, as a treasure. It's like a treasure. Entrust it to what? Reliable and faithful men who will also be capable and qualified to teach others. What came first? Faithful and reliable. And then it says qualified. You see, don't worry about being qualified. Give yourself to God. Make yourself available. He'll qualify you. Be faithful. Be reliable. And so I have to ask myself, am I reliable? God says you choose the faithful and the reliable, and I'll make them able. The church has got it all wrong. We choose the able and hope they'll be faithful. Well, I know they can teach. And we just hope they're faithful. And just hope they're faithful. God says you take the faithful first, and then I'll make them able. I'll make them able. Well, that's good stuff, man. And listen, a faithful person is not one who never falls. We all fall and make mistakes, okay? We all do, my friend. And the key is this, getting back up. Just getting back up. If you fall, get back up. Just have this declaration in your life. I am not staying down. I love what Proverbs 24:16 says. For the lovers of God may suffer adversity and stumble seven times, but they will continue to rise over and over again. Wow. I love that. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to be available. You don't need to be perfect, just available. You'll never be equipped unless you're available. Wow. How available are you? How available are you to lead a community group, to volunteer down at the food bank, if Hope Center or some other place, to serve in the church? How available are you to do those things? Just an honest question you ask yourself. Just to serve others. Because God gives you the ability. And here's what I found out. Every time I said I don't have time, God always gives me the time when I just make myself available to Him. Wow. That's what we're called to do, is make ourselves available to God. Not only is it your job to be available, but also to be a servant. We're called, I'm called, you're called to be a servant, to have a servant's heart. Can I show you a calling higher than an apostle? I mean, we talked about the fivefold ministry. It started out with apostle, prophet. Can I show you a calling that's higher than the apostle? Well, look what Paul says, great apostle Paul that we read in Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. He said, I'm a servant first, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. He said, I'm called, but he didn't put that for, he didn't say, I'm the apostle who's been called by God. He said, a servant of Christ. Paul, a servant. And in Philippians 1:1, he said, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. A higher calling than an apostle is a servant. He's called us all to be servants, to be available, and to have the heart of a servant. You know what's really interesting about James is, well, it doesn't say it in the book of James, and he doesn't identify himself as this, but most theologians believe that the one who wrote the book of James, James, was the half-brother of Jesus. And it wasn't that James and John relationship. It was James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote it. And notice he didn't say this at the beginning of the book of James. James, the half-brother of Jesus. He was my half-brother. He didn't say that. I'm a half-brother of Jesus. Hey, man, I'm something. He never said that. What did he say? James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. He didn't say that. He said, I'm a servant. He didn't talk about that half-brother stuff. Jude verse 1, it says this. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. So some of them did say, well, that's my brother. But Jude said, I'm a servant of Christ. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 9. And the disciples were talking about who was going to be the greatest. And after they arrived at Capernaum and settled in the house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing on the road? But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. Come on, just imagine yourself being there. These guys, well, I'm the greatest. No, it's going to be me. I am the greatest. Oh, no. Me, I'm the greatest. I just put yourself there in that moment. And all the time, Jesus is, he knows what's going on. The Bible says, he sat down, he called the 12 disciples over to him and said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. You see, the disciples were talking according to the world system. Jesus said, hey, the kingdom's different. The kingdom's different. If you want to be first, you got to be last. If you really want to be the greatest, be the servant of all. serve people in the kingdom of God. A servant is the highest office there is. In the kingdom, success is serving others. And I want to go back to our text in verse 16 in Ephesians 4. It says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every part does its share, and it says every part does its share, and every joint supplies. You know what a joint does in your body? It joins to other parts, doesn't it? So you know what this scripture's saying? Is that you don't just do your share by yourself. You do your share connected to others. Because every joint supplies. It's not just a one-man show. It's I'm doing my part connecting with other people. And it says the joint, well, that joint supplies. And it builds the body and it grows as we're connected with others that are doing their part. You know, God, there's something just weird about God. I don't know what it is. Could you think God could have just been himself, period, and we could have just known him as God? But we don't just know him as God. We know him as Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Why? He chose to have those three working together in unity. There's just something about unity that God loves. And this morning, or early this morning, I was at the gym and listening to a podcast. And the question came up, you know, about unity. Why does God love unity? And the person that was answering the question said, really, I don't know. Because if I knew it all, I'd be God. But he's God, and he chose unity, and unity's just something that's really important. Unity, let's settle it. Unity is something just very important to God. Every joint, different parts, connecting together, doing their part in unity. And even in, Psalm 133, it says, you know, that God loves unity. He loves it when brethren dwell together. Everybody say together. In unity. Because the Bible says that is where God commands the blessing. Psalm 133. And do you know when God commands something, can't stop it. So what does he want us to do to work at being in unity? But I want to ask you this question. What is one part, or what is a part, I'm just going to say one part. What is a part of your body that brings you the most pain sometimes? Your joints. Anybody ever had knee pain? I've had four surgeries on my left knee. The fourth one was a knee replacement. It's a lot better now. But, man, that hurt. Moving that joint with that all that new knee and all that stuff in there, can you believe it? I had the surgery on Saturday. And on Monday, they expected me to be at rehab. And they put me on a bicycle and started moving this joint that I just had surgery on. Man, that's painful. But what's one of the things that keeps people many times from serving? Because they've been hurt. Serving, connected to the body. Man, I remember when I was a police officer in Beaumont, Texas, and there was a report. There was a gentleman that he would dress up like a woman, and he really did look like a woman, and then he would kind of walk the street as a prostitute, and some of these guys would come by, and of course they would, you know, want, they think, her services, but it was a guy, and what he would do is he would rob them. Because they wouldn't know, you know, he was a pretty strong guy. They wouldn't know, and he would rob them of their wallet, take everything. And so, and I worked a midnight shift downtown in Beaumont, and the call came in, and they gave it, and the guy jumped in the vehicle, and so it came in, and he jumped in his vehicle, ran off. They gave the description, and so I found him driving, and so I stopped him, and when I stopped him, was in a remote part of town, and lot of vacant buildings and stuff in downtown. And he got out of his car and he ran. And so, of course, I jumped out of my car and I started running after him. And it was dark. And he got to it. And he was a lot faster than me. And I was a lot younger then too. And I ran kind of fast, but he was still a lot faster than me. And so what he did was run to where I couldn't see him, and he hid in bushes. And when I got past those bushes, he jumped me. And he started going for my gun. And so what did I do? I took my flashlight, and those were big, long metal flashlights, and I commenced to swing at him in his head. And on one swing, I missed. And I was swinging so hard that my right shoulder ended up down here. And I saw it in the x-ray. The doctor showed it to me. I mean, and I didn't know it at first. I mean, I'm very fortunate because that's my gun side. And I didn't know it until the fight was over. And he actually ran off and they caught him later because I felt this sensation in my right shoulder. I was like, it's burning. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? And I couldn't. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I don't know how they do it now. This was 1990. Here's how they put my shoulder back in place. Laid me on my back on the table, and the doctor grabbed both my arms and just pulled them straight back. And I assure you, that pain I felt in this arm was more pain than I've ever felt in my knee surgeries. It was in a joint. That hurt. Oh, it hurt. I cried. That was painful. But he set it back in place. And you know what they did after that? They put my arm in a sling. And for 6 weeks, I had to leave that arm in a sling. And then I had to go to rehab afterwards. And that first day at rehab, with this arm that had separated his shoulder, and had it like this, and then they wanted me to do what? Painful. Painful. We have a wagon around here that we give people the opportunity to ride in if they've been a joint and it hurts. They've been hurt. But then was a time that they expected me to get back on duty after all the rehab and everything else, and my shoulder's okay and it's great. Get back to work, Kenneth. You know, get back out on the street. And many times, if that joint where it connects, that's spiritually in the body of Christ is where sometimes we get hurt the most. And it's sore. It hurts. And then when we start moving it again, there's like, oh, man, I don't know about it. You know, we're just... But you have to start moving it again. You have to start serving again. You have to start getting involved again and start serving. Why? Because God's called all of us to be available, and he's called us to be servants. That's what we're called to do. That's what my job is, to equip you to do that. And so, Stacy, why don't you come and let me wrap this up. And before they put up the third point, don't put it up yet, please. I have a question. Why do I need to be available, and why do I need to be a servant? Why do these things? You ever ask why? You ever ask that why? Why do I need to do this? More rain. Yay. Not complaining about it. We sure need it. It's just cold. But, and this is profound, okay? This is deep. This is deep. You're going to need to write it down, all right? This third point, when they get to it, it's really deep. Why do I need to make myself available and serve? I mean, why? You know, listen, God's all about motivation. He is. What motivates us to do things? In one place in the scripture, in the book of Matthew, where Jesus is talking, in one place he said, be careful, don't do your deeds before man to be noticed. And then I think it's either the next chapter or another chapter over, he says this, now do your deeds before man so that your Father will be glorified. It's all about motivation, okay? God's all about motivation and why you do something. And so why would I make myself available? Man, life's busy. Why would I serve other people? Why would I make myself a part of the joint that supplies, to do my part? Why would I do that? God's about motivation. Let me just give you this profound, deep answer. Because Jesus did. And we're called to be his follower. We're called to be his disciple. That's why. And if you're looking for a reason, Jesus did. He made himself available and he served. And as children of God, we're disciples. What is a disciple? A learner? We're learners of Christ. And I can guarantee you one thing Christ will teach you, if you'll let him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is to be available and to serve. Because that's what he did. That's what he did. If you're looking for a reason, pretty good one right there. Because he did. We're called to follow him. Called to be like him. And so I make myself available and I serve others because Jesus did. Because he did. I mean, I was telling the team earlier in the office in the first service where we prayed before they come out about just like everything that God's been doing in my heart lately is just again, you know, Kenneth, get back to Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about making him known, making him famous in the earth. He's still the hope of the world. And if you need a motivation, well, Jesus, he did. He did. Wow. I think it's a pretty good motivation. Hey, everybody. It's impossible to serve Jesus and not serve people. Impossible. You can't serve Jesus and not serve people. It's impossible. It's just what he's called us to do. I want to help you. You'll be fulfilled. I agree, it's not all roses sometimes. There are some thorns mixed in those roses. There's some joint pain every now and then where you got to take some deep heat and rub or get in the whirlpool and get that thing under, you know, the whirlpool. That's our Holy Ghost, all right? We get full of the Holy Spirit and we get that joint that's hurting, you know, that I've connected with somebody else. And what I need to do is get full of God's Spirit again so it just helps that joint get moving again, you know. And I put the deep heating rub of the Word of God on it and it just starts freeing it up and I begin to connect and to serve and bless other people. And this verse right here, John 13, 12 through 15, Jesus had just finished washing the disciples' feet. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow." There it is. Follow me. Do as I have done to you. I can break out all the Greek and the Hebrew. I've studied all of that stuff, but this just really sounds simple to me. And we got to stop making it complicated. Jesus said, "Because I served you, serve somebody else." Pretty simple. I don't know. Isn't that what it says? I don't know. It's not that complicated. But we make it complicated. He said, just why do I serve? Because Jesus did. That's what he told his disciples. I've served you. Now you go serve somebody else. Because here's the deal. Well, here's what he was saying. You're serving me as you serve others. You're serving me as you serve others. Well, I need to close. Everybody okay? Jesus wanted the true meaning of servanthood to be understood. He wanted it to be understood. Ultimately, servanthood is a disposition of our heart, the attitude of our heart. That's what servanthood is, a disposition of our heart. And it expresses itself in concrete actions. Because Jesus said it like this in Mark 10, 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others." That's what he came for. It says serve others. He's our greatest example. It's not about how I feel. It's about just serving others. And making ourselves available. In conclusion, I have just two verses I want to read quickly. Galatians 5:13, Paul writes, he says, "For you, my brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for sinful people, nature, worldliness, selfishness. But through love, serve and seek the best for one another." For love, serve and seek one another. And I just got to ask you a question. Do you have to pray and ask God whether you should love? What makes us think? What makes us think we have to pray and ask God to serve? When it's right there, it's right there. We ain't ask Him where. What do I need to do? But ask Him if I need to. It's right there. I mean, in the Bible, through love, serve others and seek one another's good. God, where my heart is? God, where do you want me to serve? How about your heart? God, where do you want me to serve? God, where do I need to serve? God, do I got some time during the middle of the week? God, I can go down to the food bank. I can help them load bags of groceries and things. I can do all that. God, I got time to go be a mentor at the Hope Center. I've got a few hours. I can go out there and bless somebody at the Women's Hope Center and Men's Hope Center or something like that. God, do I like changing dirty diapers? Not particularly. But God, do I need to serve in the nursery? Do I need to serve in the children's ministry? Do I need to be a greeter at the door, just smiling and blessing people as they're coming in? Do I need to be part of the safety team, which you're going to be hearing more about later? And very soon you're going to be hearing about it. You know, we're going to have a safety person every service walking around out in the parking lot and in through our, protect our kids and watch over them. God, because you can always worship one service and work another one. God, is that something you want me to do, God? It's not, God, do you want me to serve? Yeah, He wants you to serve. And here's the deal. Here's what sometimes we don't realize. Is that when we're serving, you never know what's taking place in another person's life. To that mom who's just at her end and she's able to walk into the church and drop her baby off in the nursery and breathe and get into a service and be refreshed and filled. And God speak to her in that moment a word she needed to hear. All because she wasn't having to, "Johnny, stop it. Stop it. Be quiet. Sit down. Stand up. And the whole time God's trying to move and speak, and she's that serving in the nursery just became a privilege. Go ahead and put that picture up there. What you're seeing right there, the picture was taken Thursday night. And every one of those men you see right there in that picture are pastors. And myself and another team, a team of, went to serve them. And what I mean by that, and Steve and Deborah have been there. Quest, I'd encourage you, man, go to Quest. You need information, get with us. But this is pastors. I had the opportunity to go in March to the very first ever pastors group that they had, just pastors. And so I thought, man, I've got to go back and serve these other pastors. But what's so unique about what you see right there is that the whole week was designed for them to do nothing but hear from God and seek Him. They could not serve themselves or each other. They were to do no ministry to each other. These are pastors. You know how hard that is? They could do no ministry. Here, during meals, they never picked up their plate and put it in the trash. The staff did. We picked up their plate. We told them. They didn't get their own drinks. We got their drinks. We served them. So that the whole week, their only responsibility was to get in God's presence and hear from Him. And if you'd have seen the way this group of guys walked in that house, and the way they walked out, wow, night and day. Night and day. When they walked out, they were, this is during a worship song, and they all just got, this is a worship song, and they got on their face before God. And during the praise songs, they were jumping all over that place, that room. And that room, by the way, was my responsibility to empty the trash two or three times a day. Make sure there wasn't any trash on the floor, to make sure the chairs were straight for the pastors. I'm talking about just serving, because you never know what serving does for somebody else. They were able to hear from God because they needed it. That's what serving's about. You can put the picture away now. Thank you. They didn't have to worry about it. They just had to worry about eating, that's all. Staying nourished. And on fast day, the whole day, they went out in the woods and all day long and saw God. That's all they did the whole time, was see God. But that's what it does for other people when you serve. It gives them an opportunity to be blessed and touched. Experience all that God has for them. Wow. All right. Let's close with this verse. Won't you stand? Yeah. 1 Peter 4:10. Just as each one of you has received a special gift, Peter's writing, and again, this is the Amplified, a spiritual talent and ability graciously. Where did the ability come from? Again, given by God. Employ it in serving one another. There it is. As is appropriate for good stewards. We're to steward what God gave us by serving others. Of God's multifaceted grace, faithfully using the diverse, varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. And I just want to ask you a question. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? About being equipped to serve and to be who God's called you to be. Who God's called you to be. That gift He's put in you. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about that? Because He will give you that ability to fulfill what He's called you to do. All right? You just need to be available and say yes to Him. Yes to Him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for today. I thank You for this message, this series. What's our roles in the church? God, You gave us roles. I mean, it's Your church. It's Your institution. And You shared with us how it should operate, God. Just like You shared for the family, God. Government, all areas, God. God, you're a perfect God. And there's times we get these roles kind of, Father, when Thanksgiving dinner, we're about to enter into Thanksgiving season. When Thanksgiving dinner is being cooked, everybody needs to know the role. Who's cooking this? Who's cooking that? Who's bringing this? Who's bringing that? Who's setting the table? Who's getting the silverware ready? Who's pouring the drinks? We all have roles, God, that You've called us to do. And so, Lord, I just pray for every person here. If there's some that, Father, that joint, they've been connected before, but it just got hurt. Lord, been there. We have a wagon for people to ride in, but there comes a time, Lord, they do rehab and they do all those things. It's time for that joint to get moving again. And so, Lord, I pray for anyone that's just, they've been in that place Maybe they've separated a shoulder spiritually, God. It's painful. No doubt it hurts. But God, I pray for healing in their heart, God, because they're valuable to your kingdom. You have a part for them. You have a part for them, for the body to be complete and whole and to grow and to be all that you called it to be. And so I pray for healing in their heart. And God, if there's some that don't know, Father Ben, Father, if they don't know, they can just, Father, they can greet at a door. They can go serve at the food. They can just do something somewhere. God, that helps them, Father, get moving. Because, Father, it sure is easier to move a steering ship than one sitting still. That they can just get moving, doing something, serving somebody else, God. Maybe they need to go down to the homeless shelter, Lord, and just serve. Maybe they need to connect to a place in the church, Lord, just serving. And God, then in that serving, you just reveal to them what you've called them to do. And Father, I just thank you for those that have been like preaching to the choir today. They are connected. They are involved. They are serving. They are blessing people. They are laying down their life for others. I pray that you would continue to strengthen them and bless them. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Put your hands together. Give him praise. Come on, church.